Brother Charles is brother Walter Clements passed away this week, and the funeral service will be on Monday at 11 o'clock. That's tomorrow at 11 o'clock. But there's some visitation time of this afternoon. Mr. Charles, you know, Miss Gail, they're over in junior church, working in junior church. So you could get the information from them. But I do know the service itself is at 11 o'clock. That's at Morissette Funeral Home at 11 o'clock. The viewing is this afternoon. And then again tonight, it's twice today. So you could check with them. And this is what I have for you this morning. But they're over there. I just haven't made contact with them since they've been very busy this week. Graduating a good man, Brother Walter Clements, to glory. A very, very good man. Good man. And check with him on more information on that, because it'll get away from you. I can't give it to you tonight because it takes place this afternoon and tonight. All right, Father, come and read the scriptures.
All right, let's turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 15. We're reading verses 13 through 15. Proverbs 15, start with verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this place. God, we thank you for a place we can come and worship you, God, with those that Lord, that are saved on the way to heaven, God. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity, God, to sit down and listen to your word preached. God, we thank you for, as always, Lord, the song service here, God, and just the movement, Lord, in our hearts to want to get back to that place, God, that we once were, maybe. And God, Lord, just live a life that's renewed in Christ, God. I pray that you would just be with the pastor this morning as he speaks. God, be with each and every one of us here. Lord, if there's one that's not on their way to heaven, God, I pray that they'd accept Christ as their Savior today, Lord, and realize, Lord, that there's nothing else to this life other than accepting Christ, God. And so I just pray that you just be with us this morning. Give us a great service. In Christ's name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. This morning, I want to bring a message, the joy of the Lord, and speak about God's miracle medicine. Well, my Sunday school class, look how many times it says merry heart there, so we know what the text is speaking of, and about happiness. I was going to preach on love this morning, and I had the text ready to go, and I preached it to myself yesterday, and I liked it, but love is hard work. So I think I'll postpone that to the next Sunday morning, preach on love. I think this morning I preach on a merry heart, on a merry heart. That's not as difficult, I suppose, but all the loving we do, the Lord God does through us, and we're not naturally moving in that direction. But this is a message also I preached to myself yesterday. I like to try them out. And it's an interesting thing. The text itself is tremendous. It says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And if you'll all look up here right now and see how many have a merry heart, if you would, please. Have a cheerful countenance. All right, you're looking pretty good. This guy looking pretty good. I think we're doing all right. Some of you just got religion, but some of you hadn't before I mentioned it. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart, but spirit is broken. Now, I could do this, bless your hearts, and we all would have some response to this, wouldn't we? But the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, they're not happy at all. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Message on the joy of the Lord. Dr. John A. Schindler, How to Live 365 Days a Year, in his book, as a copyright in the 50s, and he discusses there emotionally induced illness. Emotionally induced illness. He calls it EII. He said people are sick physically, but it is their emotions that have made them ill. They're sick, but their emotions have made them ill. Dr. Sittner says, he said that 50% of the people who are treated by physicians are there because of EII, emotionally induced illness. 50%. Every other bed in the hospital, in each other bed in the hospital, there are people with EII, emotionally induced illness. He says also that down in New Orleans and the Oscar Clinic there, it says that they found that 74% down in New Orleans that they have EII, emotionally induced. That means you're not sick, but you think you are. That means you're not sick, but you think emotionally induced. That you have you ever had that? You ever been in the hospital for that? You're not really sick, but you think you're sick. You can make yourself sick. You can make yourself sick. And you get it in your mind that you're sick. Well, let me ask you, when you feel the pain, if you feel the pain in your chest, what do you think immediately? You think heart attack, don't you? You think the very worst. They say, well, I'll get over it. That'll be nothing. No, I think it's throbbing like crazy, and it'll hurt me real bad, but I think it's something I ate. You're not going to do it. No, you're going to say, what is it, 911 or whatever. Just call 911 and get somebody over me to hurry. See, that we think the worst about things. What happens, people just do this all the time. They think they're worse off than they really are. So this emotionally induced. At Yale University Medical School, and just being around that area would make you sick. But since Yale University Medical School, 76% of those coming to this, higher there, those coming to the department had EII. They're going to the hospital at Yale University Medical School. They were all from the Yale University. Then also it says the problem is that the doctor is afraid to tell the patient he has emotionally induced illness for fear he will become angry and demand another doctor. So he says you're sick because you think you're sick. It's emotionally induced. You're sick because you think you're sick. Well, the doctor doesn't want to tell you that because he's got some pills he wants to sell you. And so if you did that, if you move out of there real quickly, you might not come back. It is estimated that 75% of stiffness in the back of the neck is caused by EII. I have stiffness here right now in the back of the neck by watching those basketball players for the last 2 days run up and down the court. I've got stiffness right here. And I look over this way for a while, and look over here for a while, and I look. And all of those who are with me have it also. It's just that we're going to go to the hospital after church because we want to get there for lunch. But it says here that 75% of the stiffness in the back of the neck is caused by EI, emotionally induced illness. I know where mine came from. 90% of lumps in the throat and difficulty swallowing are caused by EII. You don't drink enough liquid, so you don't move the food falling us down your esophagus. That's the problem. If you get a cool drink of glass water, you push that thing on down into your stomach, you'd have those problems with all that reflux and all that. I'm trying to help you. I know it's a religious message, a Christian message, but I'm trying to help you also with some good common sense. You're not pushing the food far enough down. And you go over there to the hospital and they give you something relaxing, and then it goes down on its own. But 90% of lumps in the throat and difficult swallow are caused by EII. 50% of light pain in the stomach is EII. And 94% of all the bloating is actually EII. Dizziness, you know that? 80% of all dizziness. Mine comes from getting up and down. When I bend over, you know, when I bend over, I look around and see if there's anything else I need to do while I'm down there. Because I get dizzy when I go down there and I come back up. So I find out if anything else I can do. So, but 80% of that is as I think I'm dizzy. You know I'm dizzy, but I think I am. And so 80% of that. Headaches. How about this? You have headaches. You have headaches. And they're emotionally. Headache is not a problem. It's a symbol of a problem. I don't know what the problem is. But headache is just a symbol of the problem. Headache is not an illness in itself. It's emotionally induced. No, it's something deeper. But headache is a symbol of the problem. Like if you shoot yourself in the foot and it's pain. The pain is not the problem. The pain is you shot yourself in the foot. That right there, that's the problem. I used to say, he's talking to me about it. But the pain, the problem is you shot yourself in the foot, not the pain. You say the pain's the problem. This is crazy. This guy is tiredness. Tiredness, 90% is emotionally induced. You just think you're tired. You think your wife knows you're not tired. Get up. Ponce de Leon. I want to have this because see, we just come off the ice and snow. That's why I didn't preach the other message this morning. It was called the ice and snow. And so we've had some cold time this year and, of course, some difficult weather. Ponce de Leon. The Spaniard came to Florida many years ago seeking the fountain of youth. He never found it. He should have looked in the back book of Proverbs where the Proverbs says, a merry heart, finally we're back to this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Heaviness, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, heaviness is in the heart, it makes the man stoop. It burdens the soul. The real joy and the real happiness is through Jesus Christ. All the other things they're not real. They may be emotionally induced for that matter, but I'm just saying, the body as well as the heart is bowed down with a load of care. Everybody's having trouble. Everybody's struggling with something. Everybody is. Everybody has some pain this morning, some heartache this morning, a burden of some loved one that's not saved that you'd like to see saved. Maybe a child or a son or a daughter, or maybe a mother or a father, maybe a grandparent away from the Lord God. All of us have different problems that don't necessarily carry us to the hospital, but they do bring us down. They bring us down. So the body as well as the heart is bowed down with a load of care. It breaks the spirit. It breaks the spirit. When you're dealing with the soul is one thing, but the Bible says the merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. So it's one thing to deal with the soul, it's one thing to deal with the heart, but when the spirit is broken, it's another thing. You've seen people whose spirit have been broken. And it could happen to your children. If you emotionally or you psychologically, you should always be talking upbeat about your children. You shouldn't insult your children. You shouldn't say things negatively about your children. You have correction. You have corporal punishment. You have spanking and all that goes with that. But you ought to be lifting them up. You ought not be criticizing your children. You should do those things that encourage them. And that, when, as they grow up, you don't want to make sure that the spirit is not broken. It's one thing to discipline. You should do that. Make sure you correct them according to the word of God. We spank our children by faith, not by sight. By faith, God says that's what we should do. So when that is required, we do that. We do that according to the word of God, by sight. You say, well, it's not working. Yes, it is working. It's just we operate by faith, by sight, and by faith, not sight. So the idea here is build up the spirit. Build up the spirit. You've seen people with a broken spirit. You can tell it in their eyes. Many times, you see, folks, their spirit has been broken. I have known people over the years where you could know. And I would say, it's such a sad thing. When the spirit is scarred, it's one thing for the heart. It's one thing for the soul. But the spirit, our relationship with God is spiritual. God is a spirit. He is a spirit. He is God, the spirit. Jesus Christ took on the flesh of man and walked among us and died for us. And he's there representing us there at the right hand of God the Father. But Jesus, God the Father is a spirit. And when the spirit is diminished, and it's more awesome, the broken spirit. When the light goes out of the eyes, the spark dies. There's no enthusiasm or zest for living, and the fight is all gone. There's nothing when the spirit is gone but a shell. Watch the spirit. And with your children, make sure you encourage the spirit. Lift them up so that you encourage them. You say things that are helpful to them. Yes, there'll be discipline. Yes, there'll be times. I hate to hear a baby cry, but it's part of the process. I hate to cry myself, but it's part of the process. It's part of the process. But with children, and you want to make sure they understand what you're disciplined for, what you train them for. But you make sure you don't take the fight out, you don't take the spirit out, you don't take the spark out. You make sure that build up your children, lift them up. Now don't say things that are full of flattery. That's against the scripture. But I'm just saying, find things good about them. They do well. Make sure you compliment them on that. General Douglas MacArthur, one of my favorite heroes, General Douglas MacArthur, spoke these words. He said, youth is not a time of life. It's not a time. Let me ask you this. No matter what age you are, I feel just as good as I did when I was 16. But I may not try to do the things that I did when I was 16. I can still jump and I jumped at 16, but I don't want to go up that high as I did in 16. Now come down, I don't know where I'd end up with breaking off knees and ankles and all that is falling off all of a sudden. Who knows? I might end up on my knees. Who knows? But the thing is, youth is not a time of life. It's a spirit in us. I feel just as good this morning as I did on my sick days when I was 16. I feel just as good this morning as I did when I was awfully ill when I was 16 years old. I feel just as good this morning. So don't be disturbed. So youth is not a time of life. It's a state of mind. It's a state of mind. And you're to go to the mirror. The mirror tells you one thing. You turn around, turn your back to it, and you think within yourself, well, I feel pretty good. And I look pretty good, and so on. I got a few cheaters. I got some glasses on to keep me, help me find my way around in the light. And then I got the hearing aids on to help me. I don't have all this yet. I do have the glasses, but I need them to help me find my way in the light time. So youth is not a time of life. It's a state of mind. It is not a matter of red cheeks, red lips, and supple knees. It is a temper of the will. It's a quality of the imagination. Man, you can still have a vision. You can still have a dream. You can still make plans. You can still enjoy each other. My wife and I, we've always, if you get married, it's too late for some of you, but if you that aren't married yet, when you get married, you make sure you marry somebody that can laugh. My wife, we just laugh all the time. People come to the restaurant and see us laughing. They just want to see what kind of party we're having or what it is we're smoking. And so we just laughed out the biggest time. If you're visiting here, I feel sorry for you because you see, I can't wait. Which door leads out of this place? No, what I'm doing, this builds the family. This lets us laugh together because we've been weeping together. We've had some losses. We need to laugh some. This builds the family. Gilgo Baptist Church, our beloved Gilgo Baptist Church family, builds the family. That's what it does. Let us laugh together. The people that are quick to laugh are quick to weep. They're quick to weep. And so it's our turn this morning to do some weeping. We've had some very, very difficult as far as deaths. I mean, good night, graduation. We know where they are. We know where they are. They're not lost. We know where they are. They're in heaven. We know that. We know that. And we've had some taking some good hits on that. So what we're going to do this morning is to make sure that we are lined up with the Word of God and also enjoy life and get some things that help us to go on and go on merrily. We're in good shape. We're in good shape. God's good, and we got folks that are in heaven now that we've had some lost loved ones that we've known over the years. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old by deserting their ideals. You understand that? They grow by deserting their ideals, the dreams they had, the visions they had. It's not too late to do what you set out to do. It's not too late to do what you set out to do. It's not too late. You may not be able to do it as long as if you'd done it earlier, but it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. To give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. If we have to be in one place, having been old in our body, is that one place enough? We don't wrinkle the soul. Worry, doubt, self-distrust, fear, and despair. These are the long, long years that bow the head and turn the growing spirit back to dust. You're as young as your faith and as old as your doubt. You're as young as your faith and as old as your doubt. You're as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fears. As young as your hope, as old as your despair. You know why they sang that song this morning? They sang that song this morning, if the altar could talk. Because they've been working on those, their daddy loves that song. And it's one of those anthems we have at our house. The other one's hunger for holiness. I hunger for holiness. I hunger for holiness. That's another one. The other is if the altar could talk. And takes me back immediately to the first real altar I ever went to in my life. Tremendous. You're as young as your faith, as old as your doubt. As young as your self-confidence. As your self-confidence. Wives, you continue to build up your husband like you build up the children. You build up your husband. I'll tell you one thing about your husband. He has real good taste. He has real good taste, your husband does. Real good taste. Would you disagree with that? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. So you're as young as your self-confidence. As old as your fears. Fear will take you under. You be careful with that. Fear will take you under. That's why it's important to fear God. Fear God. All the other fears are less than fearing God. Fear God, Almighty God. You feel there's an awesomeness toward God. As young as your hope, as young as your hope, as young as your hope, as old as your despair, as young as your hope, as old as your despair. Eventually, if we don't take care of life, if we don't get this joy that comes through Jesus Christ, if we don't have the merry heart, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The soul affects the spirit, the spirit affects the body. And that's where that E-I-I comes from. The body begins to wither and decay. The entire body is affected with emotionally induced sicknesses, illnesses. How do you master all that? Here it is. God has given us a good medicine to master that misery. It is a merry heart. Actually means joy. Merry heart means joy. The seed of joy. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he said. You don't think right? Read the Word of God. It is right. The only holy book in the world, right here. It is right. It is right. Give you right thinking. About yourself, which is hard to take. About God, which is easy to take. About His holiness, His love for you. So the whole idea, make sure, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Hebrew psychology, the heart is the core of the individual. And the seed of joy is in the heart. It does not depend upon things. It does not depend upon food. If you're depending on things, you depend on things. You've got to give up when you leave. Things do not satisfy. You can enjoy them. I'm for them. If you got anything you think you shouldn't have, and if you got a camper and it's bothering you spiritually, give it to me. I know how to use it. If you got a boat and it's bothering you, and don't take God's money to buy that. Don't make on God's day to use it. But if you got a boat that's bothering you, I'm willing to take the trailer hitch out on the back of the car and come by your house and pick it up. I know what to do, and I know when to do what with it. So the idea is the whole idea of having things, you have them to enjoy, but you don't count on them. Things don't mean anything. They're dead. They're just dead. They're dead. They rust. Have you noticed that? They rust. They spoil. They spoil. Things cannot satisfy. What we need is something for the heart. That usually the devil starts on the outside. He says, you can be satisfied with all these things. Get all these things. Get this position. Get all this money. And then he works on the inside. He starts on the outside, works on the inside. But God starts on the inside, and he works out. Salvation through Jesus Christ starts on the inside. Know Christ is saved starts on the inside. And then he works out, and the Holy Spirit says, you ought not do that. And they say, oh, I'm going to do that anyway. Holy Spirit says, it's going to cost you. I might think about that. I better think about that before I do that. See, the Holy Spirit comes to live with us the moment we're saved. And the Holy Spirit gives us the leadership from God Almighty. The Holy Spirit leads us about. And you're getting ready to do some kind of a business deal. And the Holy Spirit says, that's wrong. You say, you're right, it's wrong. It's wrong. You're about ready to do something, to watch some television, some pornography, something you should not watch. And the Holy Spirit says, that's wrong. That's right, Holy Spirit. That ruined my relationship with my wife. I can't do that. I can't do that. See, the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us. He's the seed of joy, the Holy Ghost of God. He works on the inside and out. The devil works on the outside on you. You have this, man. You'd really be happy if you could have a larger closet for all your clothes. You use all the closet space now. We've got a little place upstairs in the corner there where we put two or three suits. You use all the closet space. Use it for your clothes and for your shoes. Isn't it crazy? See, a woman walks into a closet full of clothes, all clothes. It's full of clothes, full of clothes. She walks into another closet, and it's full of clothes, and all women's clothes, women's clothes. And then she comes out and she says, I don't have a thing to wear. Now, what does she mean by that? Here's what she means. I don't have a thing I want to wear. That's what she says. It's not truthful to say, I don't have a thing to wear. It's not truthful. No, she's saying, I don't have a thing I want to wear. That's what it is. And that's what I bring on the trip over to wherever those places you buy the clothes are. I can't think of what they are. The whole idea here is that the things will not give us satisfaction. The source of joy is the Lord. The merry heart comes from the Lord. Whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he, the Bible says, Proverbs 16:20. The Lord Jesus himself is the source of that joy, John 15:11. Also it says, these things I have spoken to you, that joy may remain in you, joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus talked about his joy. Jesus says, thou hast anointed thee with the oil. This is tremendous. The Bible says about Jesus, thou hast anointed thee, speaking of Christ, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus was so full of joy. He had the Holy Spirit of God without measure. We have it, but we don't have it without measure. We have it in our soul without measure, but not in our physical yielding to it without measure. But it says, thou hast anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That is that the gladness above thy fellows. You people like to be around Jesus. He had gladness. He had joy. He had a merry heart. They liked to be around Jesus. They followed him in droves. They followed Jesus. He had a merry heart. That means that no one has ever lived that had joy like Jesus has joy. If you want joy this morning, it comes through Christ. That comes through the book of God. That comes first through salvation, through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to give my joy to you. My joy to you. So, it makes a loss of loved ones, just they're gone for a while. They're gone for a while. They're gone for a while. You know the reason it says that it talks about the, what is the message you preached the other night about that, about in 1 Corinthians 13, is, what's the last part of that last verse about love, joy, what is it? It's what's the best of those three?
Greatest is love.
What is it?
Love.
Love, and what's the other two? Faith, hope, and love is the greatest, right? That's what it says. Do you know why love's the greatest? See, we've got now faith becomes sight, faith, and then hope becomes reality, right? Here's what happens. Love is so strong and so great, love breaks right through death and goes to the other side. Love breaks right through death. So our loved ones, Brother Walter, he's in heaven now. The love of God broke right through death, through salvation, right through death, and it's in heaven. Faith and hope, well, hey, if you get faith, well, sight replaces faith. You don't have to believe by faith. And hope, you realize, comes to reality. But love breaks right through death. Isn't that something? So it's bad for us here. But you try talking to Walter about coming back down. You start trying to talk about Mama about coming back down. You try talking about, she's not interested in coming back. She's just in you going there. Love is strong. Love lasts forever. Love breaks through death. Breaks right through death and comes out on the other side. And we look, it's the physical part of death. I don't mind death. It's just a trip that they choose me to make it there. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. It's destination that controls me sometimes. I want the rapture. 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 So the idea here is that love is so great it breaks right through death. It goes right through death. And love, of course, is in heaven forever and ever. God is love. I've got to stop. Okay, this let me close with this, y'all. It's an article sometime back that I got a hold of, and it says that man needs three things in order to make him happy. three things in order to make him happy. First, you need someone to love. Stop right there. It's more important that you love somebody than somebody loves you. There's a need for someone, for needing someone to love you. But the key here is he needs someone to love. It's more important that you love somebody than somebody loves you. There's a greater satisfaction in loving somebody to have somebody love you. There just is. To have someone, you need someone to love, someone to love, someone to love, someone to love, someone to love. And it's more important that you love somebody, and there's greater satisfaction in that. Something meaningful. Oh, let me just go back for a second. What's your favorite candy bar? Somebody tell me their favorite candy bar. Give me a favorite. Anybody? It's not a trick question. Favorite candy bar. Baby Ruth? What is Snickers? Anybody? Does anybody here eat candy? All right, good, brother. Will, right, what, come here, Brother Paul. What's your favorite candy bar? Milky Way. All right, Milky Way. Now, let me ask you this. Now, when you eat that Milky Way candy bar, how long does the taste of that candy bar last? How long do you think it lasts? How long? Real short period of time, isn't it? Would you say it lasts 2 days? Would you say it lasts half an hour? What, about 3 or 4 minutes? You take that same Milky Way candy bar and get Miss Marilyn there, and she eats it. You have a greater satisfaction of it because, see, you sacrificed, you wanted that. I know how you are about Milky Way candy bars. And you wanted that candy bar. You wanted that candy bar. You wanted it. And you gave it to her. How long would the memory of your giving that to her last? Throughout eternity. It's better to love somebody than have somebody love you. Because the satisfaction is greater. I don't care what it is. You name anything. We're talking about clothes while we're letting your wife buy a dress instead of you buying a suit or a pair of bib overalls. You see what I'm saying? I'm just telling you. It is greater that you love somebody than it is to have somebody love you. It's greater. So the memory of that lasts longer than the taste of that candy bar, doesn't it? Multiply that over and over and over again. Multiply it. The memory of what? Remember what you did for the one you love. What makes you give? What makes you do? Love does. It's love that does that. So you're more satisfied in loving someone and giving that someone, making a sacrifice for that person you love, than you are if somebody just loves you. What do you get if somebody just loves you? It's good to have somebody love you. It's wonderful to have somebody love you outside your family. That's a real jump. You have that. Somebody love you outside your family. And we got excited when we first found out that. So anyway, let me get back to this. So in order to someone to love, something meaningful to do, and something to hope for. Jesus Christ is all three of those. We love him because he first loved us. Something to do, serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100. And then, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We got all three in Jesus Christ. And I do have to stop. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Patrick Henry. He said, give me liberty or give me death. He's known that worldwide, not just in the United States. Give me liberty. He said, just over here, been with our server time, St. John's Hospital. St. John's Church, right? St. John's Church? St. John's Church. We've been on a show. They have reenactments over there. Great stuff. They got people that look like the people they're acting. George Washington, the different people. They have it particular times of the year. He said, "Give me liberty, give me death." But he wrote these words in his will, and these are greater than "Give me liberty, give me death." And I like the statement, like the man. But these words are greater than that. To those who will receive his inheritance, you don't buy an inheritance. Somebody gives it to you. To those who will receive his inheritance, he advised this. He said, there's one thing more I wish I could give you. It is the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ. With it, if you have nothing else, you could be happy. Without it, though you have all things else, you would not be happy. True joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love "Give me liberty, give me death." I like that, and I still believe it. But this is tremendous. True joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved. He's known for that one statement, but he's revered For the second statement. Let's stand for prayer, y'all. All our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Two areas we'll talk about. First is this, is that as a church family, and even our guests that are here this morning, it's a time of prayer for us. You say, preacher, there's some things we need to pray about. I want to pray for you, and I want you to pray for me. And as we close out, as we ask two questions, we'll have a time of prayer. And then the second one is that if anyone here without Christ, that they might want us to pray for them, know Jesus Christ is saved. I'd like to pray for them. I'm not in any way embarrassed them or come to them in any way, but I'd like to pray for them for their salvation. Somebody prayed for me, and I found my way to Jesus. First is this group. You say, preacher, there's something in my heart that I've been praying for a while. There's something I've been talking to the Lord about. Or maybe something just came up, something that's new you've been praying for. You just keep on praying, keep on praying. Preacher, there's some things I need to pray about. Some of these I know because I know some of the burdens you carry. I know them, and I know we're praying together. Others I do not know. Some I do not need to know about. I just need to pray about them. I need your prayers. I need you to pray for me. You say, preacher, there's some things that I need prayer about this morning. We need to pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You lift your hand toward heaven. Say, preacher, we need to pray together. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. God bless you. God, in the balcony, God bless y'all. You may take your hands down. God bless you. We're going to pray in just a moment. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to pray in just a moment. Just a moment. I need your prayers, and I need you to pray. My hand was up, too. I need your prayers. Could be here you come this morning. You do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the verse I came to Christ on, 1966. Receive Christ as Savior. Could be you say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Or I know I'm not saved. Preacher, pray for me. I won't come to you in any way at all. I'll just pray for you. I'll just pray for you. After the service, you need to talk to some, you come and see me. I want to pray for you. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. With heads bowed and eyes closed, lift your hand toward heaven. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that? Anybody, 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 anybody. Our Heavenly Father, the Bible says that your ear is turned toward us. We lift our lips in prayer. We come this morning praying as a church. We come this morning praying as individuals. We come this morning asking that the Holy Ghost of God might lead us, that we might pray in a way, Father, that pleases heaven. We pray for each one of these, Father. I pray for each request. I pray that they'd understand this, that Jesus Christ, our intercessor right now, gives them the undivided attention as if they were the only person on the face of this earth. God deals with us one by one by one. We're a church family. We're here this morning. We've come to worship the Lord. God deals with us one by one by one by one. And for us to speak this prayer this morning, it's just like that one individual talking to one God in eternity who's been there forever and ever and ever individually. I don't know how he does it. Lord, I don't know how you do it, but I know you do it. And I pray you speak to every heart. There's one here without Christ. I pray they might be saved. Father, for those of us who are praying day in and day out for particular and specific things, a lost loved one, some burden, some financial need, some emotional struggle, something, Father's on our hearts, something we need to take to you, bring it to you this morning. And then, of course, we pray in Jesus' name. He is worthy. Christ is worthy. We pray that, Father, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You make some decision this morning. You make it just now. While the ladies sing, while the music, ladies are playing, just now, you come, you come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb.
Amen. Amen. It's good to get together and worship the Lord today. It's good to have guests who visit with us. God bless you for coming. Glad you're here this morning. Let me give you this before we have a closing word of prayer. We'll be back here tonight at 7 o'clock, y'all. And this is Brother Walter Clements. Visitation today, 1 to 3 p.m. This is Morrissette Funeral Home, 1 to 3 p.m. Then toward evening is 5 to 7 p.m. So visitation today, 1 to 3 p.m. Morrissette Funeral Home, 5 to 7 toward evening. Brother Walter Clements. And we're praying for the family. All right, Father.
Lord, we thank you for the time we get to spend together this morning, Lord, and hearing the preaching and teaching from your word. And I pray this morning you would be with those, Lord, with heavy hearts, be with Brother Charles and Miss Gail and Mrs. Edith, Lord, and the family there, Brother Walter. I pray that you just be a help and a comfort to them during this time, Lord, and just be with them in the next couple of days. And then, Lord, also be with Brother Woody, Lord. We're just always glad to see him, Lord. We just pray under these circumstances, I know, very trying and tough for him. So I pray that you just be a help and a comfort to him and his family, Lord. And just we know where she is, and we know, Lord, you're in control. But I just pray during these times as we remember what each of these meant to the lives of these people here, Lord, that you just be with us in a special way and be with him today, Lord, and Mrs. Marilyn and the family there. And bless us, Lord, as we go out from here, Lord. Just thank you that we do have a hope, Lord, that we have an excitement knowing that we can do something for you in the time you've given us here. And so I pray this week, Lord, you'd help us do that. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today who doesn't have that hope of Jesus Christ, Lord, who's never trusted you, Lord, help them to realize that that's the only way that they can have hope, Lord, is through you. And so I pray that they do that and make sure they know they're on the way to heaven. And, Lord, just give us a great week as we go out from here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.